29 today, Psalm 29, verses 1 through 11. So if you have your Bibles and want to turn to that or find that on one of your devices, we're going to look at verses 1 through 11 of Psalm 29, another Psalm of David, ascribe glory to the Lord. Just follow along as I read, please. David sings this, ascribe to the Lord heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters, the God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare. And in his temple all cry, glory! The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word, and we're thankful that we can study your word. We ask that you would give us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the hearts to understand the message that you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when we're young, we think that our dads are going to last forever. When we're young, we think our dads are super strong and that no one in the world is stronger. I asked Salt and Light this week to share some of the things that they remember as young children or from the time they were young children, some things that they remember about their father or grandfather, of course, when they were young children. Here's some of the things that they said. My dad used to pick me up by the belt loops on my pants and swing me around like an airplane. It was so fun and very uncomfortable at the same time. My dad used to blow cigar smoke into our bubbles. My dad used to make us laugh with stuffed animals. He gave them voices and would bring them to life. My pop-pop would sing so loud while making Scrapple every morning, I'd roll my eyes to make him stop. But secretly, I loved that, and it cracked me up. My dad was so helpful and supportive in the sports department, but he also taught me how to braid a Barbie and he painted my nails. This one says, I remember playing catch and basketball in our backyard with my dad. We would also race up our long driveway. He would always let me jump out to a huge lead only to somehow just pass me right before the finish line. But I loved the challenge, and I think he knew that. I also remember him sending off fireworks shot through a pipe. My dad enjoyed, still does, shooting off fireworks at all the wrong times. I also remember sitting on his shoulders when walking places. I remember being nervous to be high off the ground, but also so safe atop his broad shoulders. Also, another one, also when our dad would come from work, he would open the door and say, I hope I'm saying this right, Ohio! And we would all run to the staircase to greet him, and he would give nicknames for us all. Things we remember about our dads. There are so many memories that we could share about the men who shaped us growing up, and of course back then there was nothing our dads could not do. Whenever something would break, it seems like dad could fix it. But of course, as we get older, our dads also got older, and our dad doesn't seem to be as big and powerful anymore. Our fathers, who seemed so invincible back then, grow old and they wear out. We grow up and things change. Dad's not able to fix as many things anymore, especially when we become the broken ones. But we do have a Heavenly Father who never grows old, who never changes, who never wears out. We have a Heavenly Father who can fix anything. And I think today that illustrates the grace-filled attribute that we want to explore this morning. And this morning we like to look at the attribute of omnipotence. Omnipotence simply means, or God's omnipotence means that God is all-powerful. God is strong, and He has all strength. Omnipotence is defined as God's ability to do anything that is consistent with His nature, or that God can do all His will. The Heavenly Father is not like earthly fathers who are temporarily strong. God is eternally all-powerful. Now that doesn't mean that God can or do or will do everything. There are indeed certain things that God cannot do. Titus 1:2 tells us that God cannot lie. 2 Timothy 2:13 tells us that God cannot deny Himself. James 1:13 tells us that God cannot be tempted with evil. And throughout the Scriptures we know that God cannot sin, because sin is contrary to His nature, because God is immutable, unchangeable in His nature. But even though there are certain things that God cannot do, it does mean, omnipotence does mean, that nothing in line with His will is impossible for God. God does anything in line with His own purposes. God can do anything that is in keeping with His own perfect and holy and good nature. In fact, Scripture teaches us just that. Genesis 18:14 and even Jeremiah 32:27 ask this question: is anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah 32:17 says, nothing is too hard for the Lord. Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Luke 1:37, with God nothing shall be impossible. Matthew 19:26, with God all things are possible. There are many Scripture references to God being almighty. And in this psalm, Psalm 29, David exhorts Israel to worship the God who has great power. You've all witnessed the incredible power of a flood or a waterfall. You've probably witnessed, maybe via television or even being there yourself, you may have witnessed the great power of an earthquake or a hurricane. You may have witnessed in your own childhood seemingly the great power of your earthly father. But all of those things shrink to insignificance when we consider the great power of God. How does God show that power? How is God's omnipotence expressed? We're going to look at that this morning. God's omnipotence, first of all, is expressed in his name. Look again at verse 1. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. David tells us to worship the Lord. He says, ascribe glory and strength. Now, this doesn't mean we give God glory and strength. It means that we recognize that God in himself possesses those things. Glory, weight, brightness, strength. And that strength is found in his nature. But we'll also see that that strength is found in his name. When Peter and John in the book of Acts were going up to the temple to pray, they met a beggar at the gate, and that beggar called out for them, and he expected to receive some money, but Peter didn't have money for him. He had something better. And Peter says, I have no silver or gold, but what I do have I give to you. He said to the lame man, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Later, in Acts chapter 4, when they were talking to the religious leaders about Jesus, Peter said this, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. God's name brings God's purposes to bear in the world. God, back in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, was speaking to Pharaoh through Moses just before the plague of hail. And he said this, but for this purpose I have raised you up to show you my power so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. When the world knows God's name, the world experiences God's power. Why do we seek to know Jesus more and to make him known? Because there is salvation in no one else but in the name of Jesus Christ. So how do we experience that power? Through knowing his name more. How does the world experience that power? By knowing Jesus' name as we make it known to the world. Solomon says this in the book of Proverbs, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is saved. See, this is why we pray in Jesus' name. Jesus, the name that means the Lord saves. We pray in Jesus' name not so that we can punctuate the end of our prayers, although that's a good thing to stop the prayers, but we pray in Jesus' name because Jesus' name possesses power. And in Jesus' name, all of God's purposes are brought to bear in this physical world. It's also what helps us to understand why taking the name of the Lord in vain is such a serious crime. Because we rebel against the very power of God. Because there is coming a time when, as Paul tells the Philippians, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Those who receive Jesus Christ in this world will be worshiping Jesus, but will be worshiping Jesus in the glory and the beauty and the majesty of his holiness. But those who don't accept Jesus, who reject Jesus in this world, will be experience Jesus' heel as he puts his enemies under his foot. They will be his footstool. They will be worshiping him out of the glory of Jesus' judgment and punishment. They'll experience Jesus' name from a different vantage point. Every knee will bow. So, we will experience power for grace and glory as we receive Jesus in this life and worship Him in this world. Those who trample on Jesus' name will experience His power for humiliation and destruction. God's omnipotence is expressed in His name. But secondly, and we see here in Psalm 29, God's omnipotence is expressed in His voice. I don't know about you growing up. When my dad raised his voice, everyone came to attention. Everything stopped. And when God expresses His voice in this world, things happen. In verses 3 through 9, we won't read through them, but in verses 3 through 9, these seven verses, we see the phrase, the voice of the Lord, mentioned seven times. I think it's significant that it's mentioned seven times, a kind of completion. Notice the power in God's voice. Verse 3, it thunders over many waters. Verse 4, it's powerful and full of majesty. Verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Verse 7, the voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. How's that for an alliteration or a tongue twister? The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. Just get the picture in your mind. This fire-breathing God dragon flashes forth flames of fire. And what does it do in verse 8? It shakes the wilderness. Verse 9, it makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. Just imagine God's voice as a wind just ripping through the forest and all the leaves are just gone. It's down to sticks, twigs. That's God's voice. See, God's voice affects the world physically and tangibly. Sound can have a calming effect. It can also have a disturbing effect. We're told that excessive noise in the workplace can cause hearing impairment, hypertension, heart disease. Excessive noise can disturb our sleep and can even cause changes to our immune system. When Ruth was pregnant with Elizabeth, we were working on our house at the time, and I was using a large drill to bore holes into the floor joist so that I could run wiring under the floor. And during this particular time, Ruth was standing right next to me. She was probably 9 months pregnant. Ruth was standing right next to me, and as I started this drill, this immediate loud shrill noise came out of the drill, and the baby inside of her belly just jumped at the startling sound of that drill. Startle her right out of sleep, I guess. Sound can affect us in tangible ways. See, sound can be destructive, sound can be constructive, and sound can also be instructive. And God's voice thunders over many waters. And He uses His voice powerfully to destroy, but He also uses His voice powerfully to create and to teach. God's word is powerful to save through Jesus' name. But God's voice is also powerful to create. Notice what the writer of Hebrews says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. If you jump over just a page to Psalm 33, verse 6, the psalmist says this, By the word of the Lord, the heavens are made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. Jump down to verse 9. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The voice of the Lord. Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light. And you want to know something? There was light. God's voice is so powerful, he doesn't need anything or anyone to act as an agent to carry out his will. Tim Keller quotes another author in his book, Prayer, by saying that God's words are identical with his actions. Keller himself says this, we humans say, let there be light in this room, but then we have to flick a switch or light a candle. Our words need deeds to back them up and can fail to achieve their purposes. God's words, however, cannot fail their purposes because for God, speaking and acting are the same thing. The God of the Bible is a God who, by his very nature, acts through speaking. That's how God acts. He doesn't need to walk over to the other side of the room and flick the light on. He simply says, let there be light. And guess what? There's light. And he says, let this person be saved. And guess what? They are saved. And he says, let this person be damned. And guess what? See, God expresses his omnipotence through his voice. And it's fitting, as we see here, when he says ascribe, that's an act of the voice. It's fitting that our voice should then be engaged to praise and worship God. Well, God's omnipotence is expressed in his name. His omnipotence is expressed in his voice. It's also expressed in his people. Look at verse 11 with me. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. See, God expresses his power through his people. He is omnipotent. He can do that. It's no problem for the strong God to act through weak people. He expressed his power in Abraham and Sarah, in miraculously producing a son. God expressed his omnipotence in Mary, in supernaturally incarnating his eternal son into the world. God expressed his omnipotence through his own son walking around in a human body in this world, omnipotently doing miracles, omnipotently knowing God's will, omnipotently dying on the cross, and omnipotently being raised from the dead. God expresses his omnipotence following his own prophetic word through human history in human beings. God's omnipotence has always been expressed in weak people to carry out God's strong and eternal will. And even today, God works through our weaknesses, manifesting his strength in our world. Listen to what Paul says. But Christ said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God expresses his power through weakness. He expresses his power in people. And what is that power? What does he have power to do in us? Well, he has power to know him more and to make him known. God has power to know him more and to make his name known. Look at what the scripture says in Ephesians. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He also has power to obey him. He gives us power to obey him and to do his will. We cannot obey him without God's power at work within us. Notice what Paul says to the Philippians. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God works in us with his power to want to do his good pleasure, but also to be able to do his good pleasure. And thirdly, to pray effectively. God's omnipotence works in us to pray effectively. Notice what James says. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. See, the only reason there's power in prayer is because there's power in the God of prayer. And that's why God wants his word to be in his people. Because when God's word is in God's people, God's power is manifest through God's people. Why do we read the Bible? Why do we memorize scripture? So that we can have that power living in us. And we have something from which to draw. Jesus himself is called the Word of God. So we pray effectively because God's word is in us, building our faith and granting us that power from the Spirit to pray effectively and to obey him and do his will and to know him more and to make him known. Someone once said, nothing is too big for God to accomplish and nothing is too little for him to use in accomplishing it. Why do we often fail in our plans? Why do we often fail in obeying God or carrying out his will? Well, there are several reasons. We fail because of physical limitations often. We fail because of fear, laziness, outside influences. We fail because of sin. But none of these things affects God. He is unlimited. And since God's omnipotence is bound up in God's will and purposes, we can be sure that whatever we do according to his word and will has God's power in it. And since the medium of God's will is the gospel, anything that we do that is in sync with the gospel of self-sacrifice, the gospel of reaping and or sowing and reaping, the gospel of Jesus Christ dying, being buried, rising again, ascending into heaven, and us following that same pattern. Whenever it's in sync with the gospel, we know that it's going to be filled with God's power. So what can we take from this? As fathers, as people who have had fathers, what can we take from this? Three things I think we can take home with us. First thing, God's power is inexhaustible. We had a power outage yesterday at church. Half the church had power. Other parts of the church didn't have power. It was bizarre. Power came back on around 2 p.m. And we're very thankful for that. But God's power is inexhaustible. He doesn't need electric company linemen running all over the place trying to fix things. His power is inexhaustible. So you know what you can do with God's power? You can trust it. You can trust that God's power is always there. Secondly, God's power is expressed in His Word. It's not expressed in deeds. It's not expressed in miracles. That's the manifestation of God's power, but is it God's power is expressed in His Word. There were times when Jesus touched people. There were times when Jesus made mud and put it on people's eyes. But it was always engaged by His Word when He said, "Be healed. Take up your bed and walk." See, God's power is expressed through His Word. So, what can you do with it? Cling to it. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Cling to God's Word. And thirdly, God's power works in those who do His will. What did James say in James chapter 1, verse 22? Be doers of the Word and not hearers only. When you do God's Word, God's power works in you. It seems contradictory. It seems backward. And yet, as you do God's will, at that moment, God's Word is giving you the power. So in the old days, when the Israelites were crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land, they were told not to wait for God to act. They were told to have the priest carry the Ark of the Covenant and step into the Jordan River. And we were told that at that time, it was springtime, the Jordan was overflowing its banks. So it was a mighty rushing river at that moment. How dangerous would it have been to be carrying this large gold-plated chest on your shoulders, a bunch of feeble priests, stepping into this rushing water? But that was what God said. And nothing happened until they put their feet in the water. They had to act, and as they acted, God's power was visible, and the water separated so they could walk on dry ground. See, we wait for God to act, but God says, "Do my word." And the moment you do God's word, God's power is right there. So what are we going to do with this? We're going to do what Nike says. Just do it. Do God's Word. And in the name of Jesus Christ, you can do God's Word. And you can experience God's power being filled with God's grace. Take that with you this Father's Day. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Your Word. Without Your Word, we would not have specific knowledge of You. Without Your Word, we would not have the power that comes from You to create, to save, to bring us into a reconciled relationship to You. So, Father, thank You for it. Help us to live our lives doing Your word, experiencing and enjoying Your power, both now and forevermore.